Norman went to a sideboard and poured himself a glass of red wine. You have a lot to explain. You can start with Sergeant Rabin. Somebody else did that, or else it was an accident. Surprised me, that's for sure. I wonder. I saw him earlier today myself. Small town. Not that small. He picked up the glass with his left hand and took a sip, staring at the man. Did Willie Joe send you here to intimidate me? No more questions, Cello said, and stepped toward him. He froze when Norman pulled out the big revolver. Just a few. He pointed the muzzle to the left. Out in the garage. Cello had his hands up, walking slowly backward. What's in the garage? Just easier to clean up. This is loaded with crab rounds, the kind that spin like a drill and pop out tiny claws when they hit. I think they make an awful mess. Jesus, hold on. What did I do to you? I mean, the window, yeah, but... Open the door there. The garage was large and neat, two bicycles hanging from ceiling hooks, an orderly wall of tools over a workbench. It's not what you did to me, or even what you intended to do to me. Have a seat. The only chair was a stool by the workbench. Cello climbed up on it. When I was a young man, I killed 25 other young men, just because they wore a uniform different from mine. Slightly darker skin. Whereas you broke into my house with the intention of terrorizing me and destroyed a work of art that was dear to me. I'm sorry about that. I'm really sorry. It's hard for me to express how unimportant your feelings are in this matter. I'm just weighing practicalities. It sure as hell wouldn't be practical for you to kill me. Sweat was popping out on his face. You don't fuck with Willie Joe. You may overestimate your importance to him. You haven't demonstrated a high degree of competence in this matter. Norman set down the wine and popped both elbows on the workbench, holding the pistol with two hands, steady on Solo's heart. And don't even bring up the police. They'd thank me. Now that isn't so. You go to trial and they'd find out about... Norman pulled the hammer back with a loud click. You're in an unenviable situation right now. You know I'm a homosexual and could ruin my life with a word. You're of no value to me alive. Dead, you would be a powerful warning to Willie Joe. You don't know him. He's crazy. He'd come kill you. He might try. I'd still have 5 crab rounds left. Cello looked right and left, head jerking, about to flee. Norman's finger tightened on the trigger. Cello stared at the tool rack. Wait, I got a good idea. It's about time. He reached slowly toward the tools. Con permiso. I take this hatchet and... Stop it. Okay, okay. He froze in position. I was gonna say, like I chop off one of my fingers. Tell him you made me do it, at gunpoint. You'd do that? Of course it could be grown back. For a price. I just want to walk out of here, man. Norman considered it. Use the hammer. He pointed with the pistol. The iron mallet there. Break your gun hand. The right one. I'm left-handed. Then I'm doing you a favor. Do the right. He reached for the tools with his right hand. He slowly removed the hammer from the hook and hefted it, not looking at Norman. Don't even think of throwing it at me. Bullets a lot faster. He raised his point of aim to the man's face. Now put the mallet in your left hand and put your right hand on the anvil. He'd already put his right hand on the table, fingers splayed, and with his eyes closed, chopped down with the mallet. It smashed the knuckles of the first and second finger. The mallet clattered across the table, and for a moment, he cradled the broken hand silently. Then he sank to the concrete floor, keening, and rolled into a ball. Norman cringed, but kept the gun pointed at him. Then an old, remorseless feeling crawled over him. Go on. One round. Simplify your life. The phone on his belt beeped. He stepped back into the kitchen, closing the door, keeping an eye on Solo through the window. He clumsily extricated the phone with his left hand. Buenas. Sweetheart, what's going on there? Rory said. I got back from lunch and there was a message from the police. We were broken into?
It's more complicated than that. The burglar was actually a blackmailer. He knew about Rabin.